Thanks again to everybody that's read, that's helped us open the meeting, and take this opportunity to welcome anybody that's joined us since we first started. Welcome to any visitors to our meeting, and a particular welcome to any newcomers to our meeting tonight. And we hope that you hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. So thank you for being here. And it gives me great pleasure to introduce our speaker tonight. And I have to thank him for allowing him to have his leg broken long enough to come and share with us tonight. I know he's keen to go and do some stuff, which is awesome. And I actually met this person. I spent a great day with him trolling around in the streets of downtown Clearwater, having a bit of fun and just hanging out. And he's a lovely guy. I've kind of felt a connection to him when we first met. And it's, I mean, we don't know, we haven't, our paths haven't crossed since then, but there's an individual that's always kind of in my mind. So without really any further ado, thank you, Dave, for staying around long enough to come and share with us again tonight. And I'm going to hand it over to you. So Dave, please share with us experience, strength and hope, my friend.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. I'm an addict. My name is David.
Hi,
Hi,
David.
David.
Hi,
Hi.
David.
Welcome.
And thank you. And yeah, I used to. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you for the group for allowing me to share what has been freely given to me by this program. And I want to thank Steve and Jay for asking me to, you know, to come and share what has been given to me from this program. And first of all, I want to thank my higher power and the program. And I want to also let anybody that this is their first meeting, the first week, they're just getting involved in this program, the online meetings, anything like that. If you're new to this, I want to welcome you. You're in the right spot. Just hang out and just keep coming. And one day it'll just kind of click for you. That's the only thing I can really say. And I'm just glad you're here. And what I always like to do is invite a loving God into this because, you know, the steps and the program showed me a pathway to God. And that's what I believe is the reason why I'm clean today. So if you just give me 1 second to invite a loving God into this process, I'd be very grateful. Okay. For me, there was a point in time where using allowed me to escape who I was, and that feeling was better than what I felt about myself and what I thought who I was and everything about me. And a point in time came when that no longer worked. And there came a point in time from that point on, basically, that I used against my will. I did not want to use. I hated what it did. I saw the destruction. I saw what it did to my relationships. And there was nothing about that that I was proud of, that I liked. But basically, I was addicted to drugs, and I didn't feel like I could ever change. I just thought that one day that I would just die or OD or something would happen. I'd end up in prison or whatever. There was going to be something that was just what my life was about. And I believed that with all my heart. And I just said, okay, I have no choice. And what happened was the person that I was scoring drugs from was pregnant, and she was going to have a child. And when the delivery date came and she was in the hospital, there was nothing for me to do. There was no way for me to get anything. I didn't know anybody. I had one person only. It was a reliable source, and I just stayed that way. And I made a phone call trying to get some help from somebody. And then the help was actually to find somebody that could give me what I was looking for. And they had suggested that I try a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I thought that was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard of. But this person was very involved in the industry that I was involved in. And I thought that if I didn't do this, that they would somehow hurt me or use that against me. So out of fear for my job and everything, I went to a meeting. I found a meeting. It was in the most seediest part of town that you can imagine. There was prostitutes and drug dealers on one side of the street. On the other side, there was this broken down, beat up church with a bunch of people, hoodlum looking people, let me tell you, standing outside the meeting. But there was a difference, though. They were laughing and, you know, kind of joking around and smiling. And the ones across the street just looked like zombies. So obviously I'd found the meeting. And, you know, they, you know, tried to welcome me and whatever. I was standoffish. I went inside. I had no energy. I was scared to death. I didn't even have the energy to make it to the back of the room. I sat in the front row, not because I was eager to hear what they had to say, but because that's all I could do to get in there was that. And that was it. I was at my wit's end at that point right there. It was a book study. And we did the first step. The words were actually just, I mean, they annihilated me, basically. When I heard the words that the basic text had to say in the first step, you know, I was beaten down already, busted up. And those words just kind of helped flatten me a little bit more. And I actually felt worse going, what am I doing here? This is crazy. But the reading was over. They had opened the floor up. It was time for the sharing aspect of the meeting, and some individuals started sharing. And what I started to hear was something that, you know, it was about hope. It was about, you know, what they were doing in their lives, how things were changing, what was happening to them, you know, that they came in feeling that the same way that I was feeling, but they weren't there anymore. And, you know, some of them had been several years. Some of them had been a few weeks. Some of them had been a few days. But I heard a message that made me think that, you know what, maybe there's something here, something somehow. But on the other side of it, I was still convinced that there was no way that I needed to be here. I was just going to do what I had to prove to this individual. And then I was going to go about my business. But what I wanted to do was prove that I didn't belong here. So I had made a commitment that first meeting. I was going to try these suggestions, and I was going to do it for 30 days. And then that way I could honestly say, hey, look, I tried your suggestion, and it didn't work for me, but thanks anyway. And at that point, the suggestions were, you know, go to a meeting every single day, read in a literature every single day, get phone numbers and use them, get a home group, get a sponsor, and don't use no matter what. So I got 5 phone numbers that day. I walked up to people I didn't know. I said, can I please have your phone number? And they gave it to me. They had a little meeting list, and I put the things on there, and the suggestions were on there. So I made about 3 phone calls, and the third person answered. The guy was talking to me. He's like, I'm going to be your sponsor. I said, okay, well, check. That's one of them off there, you know. And then I went back to the meeting the next day, and the guy told me, he's like, this is your home group. You're going to belong to this every single day. This is where you're going to come 6 days a week, and then on Sunday you're going to go over here. I'm like, well, that's number 2 off the list, you know. So I said, I got to get some of this NA literature. They had some pamphlets. You know, I was reading it. The old man yelled at me and said, what are you doing folding that up? You can read that, and then you can bring it back in perfect condition. You can put it back in this rack, and another addict can use it. We don't have money to be wasting all that bent paper, you know. So I said, all right, I can do that. Then talking to my sponsor, he says, listen, you're going to call me at 7 o'clock every day. I don't have no free minutes. I don't have a special plan. And if you're going to stay clean, you're going to call me after 7 o'clock, and that's just the way it's going to be. And you're going to go to a meeting, and you're going to do these things, and you're going to read some literature. And I don't really care about your feelings. I don't care about them at all. Only thing I care about is keeping you clean, and you're going to listen to me because I don't really give a shit about what you got to say. I said, okay, well, this is going to be interesting. But I said, hey, look, I got to do my 30 days. I got to prove to this individual that I did everything that I could do. So I was doing a meeting every single day. And, you know, I don't know what happened, but I heard about this 90 and 90. So I said, okay, well, honestly, I'm going to try this 90 and 90. And that's really going to be definite proof that this program does not work and it's not for me. And I don't know what happened, but somewhere between the second or third day, and then 90 and 90, something had changed in me. And I wanted to be part of this, and I was becoming part of it. I got some literature. I bought the books. I got the step working guide. I was going to a meeting at least every single day. I was calling my sponsor every day. I was reading in a literature. I was making my five phone calls to different people I didn't know. I was getting to know these individuals. I had been asked to get involved in service at my home group, started off with setting up, putting out the material, making some coffee, cleaning up after the meeting. I started going to the lunch and the meeting after the meeting. I started becoming part of the meeting before the meeting. I started doing my step work. Now, when I finished my first step, my sponsor said, meet me at this address. So I showed up at this address. It was a little tiny little hole in the wall bar. He's like, if I'm going to listen to what you have to say, I'm going to do it eating good food. And I like the food at this bar. So sit down and tell me your story. So started going through the first step. And I just continued to, you know, be involved in this, and things started changing my life. So I knew that I needed, like, all these things to happen for my life to start to get back on schedule. It's probably going to take me a couple years, but I'm telling you, within 30 days, things were already starting to change. My attitude was changing. My way of thinking, my perspective were starting to change. Like, you know, this program was starting to affect me in a very positive way. You know, I was really at the brink of losing my job. You know, and after that first meeting that I had gone to, I had gone into work and my boss had drove 3.5 hours across the state to fire me. And he wanted to do it personally. He didn't want anyone else to do it. And, you know, this is the drugs and the alcohol and the arrogance and the self-centeredness. I just looked at him and I said, I'm at ground zero right now. I got nowhere else to go but up. I said, that's fine. Fire me. But, you know, I'm going to get my life back together and I'm going to be your competition down the street. So I challenged the fight, you know, and he's like, you know, he really didn't want to fire me. He really had there was something about, you know, me that he liked or whatever, even though I was a horrible employee. I mean, at the time I was a tattoo artist and, you know, I did some phenomenal work, but, you know, drugs and alcohol had just taken over my life and just made me just somebody that nobody would really want to employ is the truth, you know? But you know what? I started, you know, he gave me a second chance, and I was so grateful for that, to be honest with you. I know I was arrogant when I said that I didn't care I'd be his competition, but I really had a good spot, and I wanted to keep it. And so I had a lot of time on my hands, you know, like there was several hours during the day that I had free time because, you know, the clients weren't starting to come in yet. So I was able to do my meetings every day. I was able to go to lunch every day. I would go back to the shop, open it up. I was able to sit down and read my literature, do, you know, at least three steps. I mean, not steps, but three questions a day out of the step working guide, you know, like that was my goal, three questions a day. And, you know, I started making some advancements on that. And I started watching people that have been around for a while. They've been there 6 months and still on their first step, you know, and I was just going through it and I wasn't going through it just to go through it. I was going through it at a pace that me and my sponsor came up with. He said, I think this is a good spot right here. He's like, if you answer five questions one day, great. He's like, if you only get to two one day, as long as, you know, you're being diligent about what you're writing and you're being honest, it doesn't really matter. But let's at least try and do three questions a day out of the step working guide. And I started doing that. My life started changing. And, you know, the people started being, you know, more attracted to me, you know, and it wasn't mean. It wasn't who I was. It was the things of Narcotics Anonymous. I mean, what this program teaches me is a way to look at myself and understand why I do certain things. You know, I never felt confident about who I was. You know, it didn't matter what my outside looked like. It didn't matter what my job. It didn't matter how much money I made. There was a fear of life that I had, a fear of people. A feeling of inadequacy and a feeling of just doubt and shame and all these horrible, you know, feelings that I just, you know, constantly just relived on a daily basis. And what was happening was I was able to look at certain aspects of my life and start to understand, oh, this is why I feel this way. Oh, this makes sense now. And this is why I do this, you know, and this program is the step, you know, the part that saved my life and the part that brought me to where I'm at today are the 12 steps, you know, and it's not, you know, knock out the 12 and then you're done for the rest of your life, you know, like I'm able to apply, you know, the steps in everything that I do. I'm able to apply the traditions in everything I can do. I can look at it and say, hey, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. Like, I mean, if I'm living my life the way I'm supposed to be living, I can go through the steps and I can go through the traditions and I can see, you know, where I'm out of bounds, you know. I can, and the thing that the beautiful thing about the traditions for me is, you know, when we start to break them is how we learn about what they really are. I mean, like I didn't even realize that, you know, that there were certain ones that I was on the verge of breaking, you know, being involved in service, but having talked with people that had time in the program, that had been around for a long, long time, that, you know, helped create and build this program from the, you know, from the ground up. I'm talking about the members that had more than 30 years. I mean, you know, these individuals, like I was drawn to them. I said, you know what, if I want to learn something, I'm going to learn from these individuals. They were here from the very beginning and they watched it, you know, change and grow and become what it is today. And for that, I'm so grateful because the education that I got about what this program is, where it came from, you know, how we did it, like I really got into the archive section of it. And, you know, Jay has been a great instrumental part of that. Like he has so much stuff, like the information Jay has, and the archives and the copies of and the gray book. I mean, like I was able to indulge in all that stuff. I was able to read about that stuff and then take all these other members that I had got to know in my recovery. Because I went, like, look, there was meetings out there. It was like where all the girls went to. And this is how I said, I looked at the meeting and I said, does a treatment center come here? Because that's what the key was. The treatment center would go to the glam meeting. Like whatever meeting was there where everyone was dolled up. I mean, it was more like going to a dance than it was going to a meeting. You know, like I would go to these meetings where the old timers would go. And like, I'm telling you what, like that's not the meetings that the majority of people went to. But I'm telling you what, when I showed up in that meeting, and I went there every single week, and I was dedicated to that, and I went there before and after, and those people started seeing that I was serious about my recovery, you know, they pulled me in underneath their wing, and they started sharing with me, like, what Narcotics Anonymous was really about, you know, like, how they had stayed clean for 25, 30 years, and what they had done, and what they had gone through, and I started seeing people that had been, you know, lost relationships, lost family members, lost mothers, lost fathers, lost brothers, sisters, children, and they stayed clean through it. And they stayed clean with integrity, and they did it with grace. And I was able to watch these people, and I said, you know what? Like, these are the people that show me that no matter what, we never have to use ever again. Like, these are the ones that are showing me that if I do these things, that we can stay clean for the rest of our lives, you know? And I know we do it just for today, you know? And all I have is today. And I know that. It doesn't matter that if I just celebrated 13 years, that doesn't mean nothing. What that means is that I was able to do the same thing every single day for the last 13 years. But for the grace of God, I'm still here because it's not me. You know, I turned my will, my life over to God, and I said, God, help me. As an early recovery, I'm telling you right now, I was scared and all these things were going through. My sponsor pulled me up and he said, listen to me. I'm going to tell you right now, all you have to do is say, God, I'm scared. I'm having a hard time right now. Can you please hold my hand through this? And he goes, you know what? That might sound, you know, something you may not want to do. But guess what? No one else is going to know you did it. right? And then God is going to be able to hold your hand and walk you through the process, whatever it is, and you don't have to have fear. And I'm telling you, there's times today I just go, God, I'm a little bit intimidated by what's going on here. Can you please hold my hand through this? And the relationship that I have with my higher power today, like, I feel the presence. I know that he is with me, walking along the path with me, and that I just, you know, I don't know what the outcome is going to be. And that's really none of my business. You know, what my part is having the fear to face the situation, you know, and that's what I can do. Yeah, and that's what my responsibility is. So I go to work, I do my part, I deal with my relationships in the best, honest way that I can. I'm not perfect. I fail miserably. I overreact. I mean, all these character defects that I was, you know, that devastated me in my first couple of six steps, you know, they still come back from time to time. I got to relook at it and say, okay, what's going on with me? But let's get a regroup here and let's try and put some of this in perspective. You know, let's look at some inventory stuff. What's going on? You know, do I need to make amends for this situation? You know, do I need to, you know, what's going on? And those are the things that's what this program is all about. And that's what lets us, you know, not have these things that just, you know, for me, just all the bad decisions that I had made and the relationships that I had destroyed, like the guilt and the shame and, you know, all these emotions were just on top of my shoulder. Like, I hadn't cleaned house in my entire life, you know? I was like a hoarder of bad feelings. I was a hoarder of negativity. And, you know, like, you couldn't even get through the walls and the halls of my life, you know? And it wasn't until I was able to, you know, utilize the steps of this program and to clean house and to get rid of that stuff. Because what this program has taught me was, you know, I can't let the love in. I can't let the good in unless I get rid of something. So, you know, I started unpacking and I had a lot to unpack. And sometimes it went through and I was able to do a whole room that day. And sometimes it was just a small little section, only 6 inches, because that was so buried and so deep. But, you know, this program has allowed me to, you know, clean out, you know, I'm not going to say all of it, but clean out most of the negativity and the feelings and the stuff that was gone on my entire life. And make room for the good stuff, you know. And there's this other gentleman that had been around for a long time, and you know, he told me, he's like, look, he's like, there's not a promise here. The promise is that you never have to use again and never have to feel that way. But he says, every single day that you don't pick up, you're gonna make yourself available for something great to happen to you. And you know, that's what I found out. That every single day that I've stayed clean, like, I have an opportunity for something good to happen, you know, and I've gotten better jobs. I've gotten better job opportunities. Like, I'm getting ready to embark on a journey right now that is amazing. Like, I mean, that dream job with the benefits and, you know, the top pay and, you know, all those wonderful things, you know, like, I mean, that has been presented to me. You know, because of this program, you know, it's because I followed the steps. I stay with the career, you know, and I worked hard and I did the things that this program has taught me. And I applied those things to my job. I didn't overreact. When I wanted to quit, I didn't quit. When I wanted to yell at my boss, I didn't yell at my boss. You know, I called my sponsor. I listened to a meeting. I listened to a speaker tape. I got on my knees and I prayed. I asked for help. I prayed for somebody else. Like, you know, and sometimes it's just helping somebody else, you know. Like, one thing I learned about service was the best way for me to get out of self and, you know, all that entitlement and what I deserve and, you know, all that crap was to basically, you know, do something for somebody else. And I guarantee you, there's nothing on Amazon. There's nothing at the mall. There's nothing I can buy from any store is going to give me the satisfaction that I get when I help somebody else, when I do something of, you know, and that's the amazing part for me. And it just took me so long to realize that, I mean, you know, I chased feelings. Like, I would buy stuff and then I'd be disappointed. Why did I waste all that money on that, you know? And you know, when I found out that, you know, and it wasn't necessarily giving somebody money. It was like, you know, being of service. And sometimes it came in different forms. Sometimes it was just giving of my time. Sometimes it was just working and being dedicated to a group, doing something for them, you know. And there was one key moment that I found that I was gone through. I've been working all day. I was just absolutely tired, probably 12, 13 hours work, solid, straight, hard, laborious work. I had no energy, no nothing. And I still had to go to the store. And I went to Walmart to get whatever I needed. It's like this all night, this all kind of crazy store. But I go there and I come out, and this old man is standing there, and he's like, "Can you help me jump my car?" And the last thing I needed was to waste my time helping this guy. You know, like I, like, you know, and my brain's going, "What do I need to help this guy for? He's wasting my time." But I'm gonna tell you know what happened was, like, I got rejuvenated. You know, when I took the time to help him, to be nice to him, to be caring to him, and to treat him the way I would need somebody and want somebody to treat me if I was in his position. And he, you know, and I'm saying what happened. He was so grateful and he was so thankful, and that, you know, he just, "Oh, I really needed that. Thank you." But what happened to me was the feeling of, I mean, I just felt like I had just taken a shower and a 20-hour nap. I mean, I just felt like, you know, nothing could stop me. And, you know, about 15 minutes ago, I was about ready to fall asleep at the wheel. I mean, I was how beaten down and broken down and destroyed that my body was. And, you know, that right there is one thing that I don't ever want to forget, because that's when I remind myself, because I, all the time my brain will tell me, "Oh, you don't need that." But guess what? Every time my brain tells me that, that's exactly what I mean. You know, when my brain tells me, "Oh, you don't need another meeting today." You know what? That's what I need. I need another meeting today. "Oh, you don't need to read that literature. That's not going to help you." Yeah, I need to sit down and read a page or two out of the basic text, you know. I mean, right now I read out of the gray book, you know. And that is like, I'll tell you what that is. The gray book is the basic text before it was ever voted on, before it was ever changed. It's in the raw version. I'm talking about, you read that, and that is like, listen, I never wanted anybody to cut my drug, and I don't want anybody to cut my recovery. And I tell you what, I got the gray book, and that's what I read, and that's my literature, you know? I mean, that right there is my foundation, you know? And I was turned on to that when I first started hanging out with Jay, you know? And he's like, "Oh, I got something for you." And he brings out this book. It's like the Holy Grail. It's so huge and big. And he opens it all up. I mean, I'm talking about, it's a big, huge binder. And you just flip through those pages and you're like, "Wow, this is the real deal right here," you know? And, man, I'm just excited about this program. You know, I love it. It changed my life. It gave me a new way to live. And you know what? For that, I will be forever grateful. And the only thing I can say is that, you know, not every day is perfect. Some days are, you know, completely are so hard to just get through, you know, and just life shows up, you know, and life on life's terms is not always an easy day. But I tell you what I do know is I keep coming to meetings and I keep hearing people's stories and I keep hearing people about, you know, they relapse and nothing is getting any better. And I hear about them coming in and, you know, having a hard time, you know, staying clean. And I don't know where you're from or what's going on with your program, but here in the United States, we always have this thing when we had the meetings or the live meetings, the face-to-face, you know, like if you had multiple years or a year or a year, you would raise your hand, you know. And I tell you what, that was probably my first 5 years that I stayed clean, because there was no way that I wanted to ever go to a meeting and not be able to raise my hand, you know. And then, you know, I'd be like, "Oh, I want to get this many years." Or, you know, when I first got clean, my sponsor had, you know, 8 years. I thought, "Oh my gosh, you can't get 8 years, you know." And, you know, I got 8 years and I'm like, "Man, what if I could just get 10 years, you know?" And, you know, I guess we just keep, you know, we keep living for today. And, you know, that's all we can do. But I keep putting those goals in my mind, you know, like I'm at 13 now. So, you know, maybe I can get to that 15 mark if I just keep doing it every single day. You know, I'm not trying to project anything, but I'm just saying, hey, look, you know, Like, I love this program. I love what it's done for me, and I'm grateful for it. And I don't know if you can get some kind of topic out of that or anything I said, you know, kind of helped you. Oh, that's great. But, you know, if not, just keep coming back, because there's going to be somebody that's going to tell your story. There's going to be somebody that's going to say something that's going to say, hey, I can relate to that person, because that's what happened to me. And the first time it was this old lady. And I was like, what? What's this old lady doing telling my story, you know? But I heard it, and she had everything that I felt like, you know? And I've heard it, you know, numerous times now. But I'm telling you, like, if you haven't heard your story yet, stick around, because somebody's going to tell it. And you're going to say, hey, you know what? Like, I'm not unique. I'm not the only one. Like, that person has exactly what I went through, you know? And with that, I'm just grateful. And I'll close it with that. So thank you very much for allowing me to be here today and for being of service. Thank you.